Good morning, everybody.
Boker Tov.
The channel for the Shirim is OU Israel Shirim. If you put that in, you will get everything you need. Thank you, Josh, for the introduction. The dedications for today, if I could read them out, please. The Wednesday morning Midrash program here in Rehavia is dedicated for the 2026 year. Le'ilu Nishma is Daniel ben David and Limud bat Avram Strauss and Mordechai ben Moshe and Razel bas Yosef ben Marcus, Zichronim Libracha, parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. And my Shia is sponsored for the year. Also, Le'ilu Nishma is Brana bas Brandit and Zelig ben Kalman Aleim HaShalom. Now, we are in the middle of a series which I think will take us up until Tisha B'Av, and then, please God, after that, we will start other things and other topics which I've been promising for a while but haven't yet been able to deliver quite in the same way, but I hope to get there. The material we're looking at over the weeks, which is actually very good for this time of year because it's the 3 weeks we're focusing on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, is material that we haven't looked at really for over 10 years, and we've added other stuff in. And I'm trying to look at the sort of meta halachic issues, not just the specific details, which of course are always important, but the bigger questions. 3 weeks ago, we looked at the issue of yashrus. What does it mean to be yashar? And how does that work in halacha? 2 weeks ago, we looked at the issue of kavod abrius. What does it mean to respect and have in mind human dignity? How far does that go? When does that apply? Last week, we looked at the issue of judging people, being non-judgmental, but yes, being judging when we need to judge a situation. And when the Torah says we have to judge fairly, in most cases that means we have to judge favorably. Then there's no dichotomy between them, because most people, let's say at tzaddikim for certain things, it's only fair to judge them favorably. And we talked about that last week. Of course, there's more to say on that, which we talked about. Today I want to talk about emes. Emet and sheker. What a big topic. And I want to try and look at some of the halachic angles, the hashkafic angles. Truth is, we could divide this into a couple of shiurim, but I've got a lot of material that I want to cover, so we're going to have a little bit of a gallop through this today. Let's start with the framing of this, that emet is not just another midah, it's one of the yud gimel midot of Hashem. Yud gimel midot arachvim, as you know, brought in the first source, Rav Chesed, the emet, that God is in some way defined by emet. This is a godly trait. Therefore, we have to understand it. We have to emulate it. From the mitzvah, Valachta Badrachav, Yirmiyahu. Number two, Hashem Elokim Emet. Hu Elokim Chaim, Melech HaOlam. All the thing, the way we relate to God. Elokim Chaim, Elokim Emet. And of course, we paraphrase this, which we say at the end of the Shema, Hashem Elokeichem Emet. Which we paraphrase this posik by putting it at the end of the Parshas Tzitzit. And by extension, the Torah, which is God looks into his own mind, as it were, in the Torah and creates the world from that. The Torah is also an extension of that divine emet. Sidkatzka tzedek li'olam. The Torah tcha emet, we say this on Shabbos afternoons. Torah tcha emet, your Torah is emet. Just to link it with the Parsha. Korach, of course, the Gemara that talks about the guide, the Arab guide that was able to show the Chazal where Korach was buried in the ground, where he'd gone down into the ground, and he said, if you put your ear to the ground, so you'll hear, and he heard him saying, Moshe Emes, V'toyrasa Emes, which is the source of the song. I don't think they were singing the tune that we sing when we throw the kids up in the air and dance around the shul, but Moshe Emes V'toyrasa Emes, Emes is key. Emes is the seal of God. Number four, Da'amar b'chaynina chotmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emet. The chotemet, the very seal, the essence of what it means to know something is divine, is its Emet. And the Rambam actually uses this word in a slightly unusual way, but which is very important. Look in the Rambam in number 5, when he's defining what it means to believe in God. The very opening of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. And he says that God exists and there is one God. And then he says at number 5, Lefikach ein amitato ka'amitat echad mehem. God's emet is not the same as the emet of any other creation in existence. Husha Navi Omer, and that's what the Navi meant when it said Hashem Elokim Emet, the passage we just read. that God is Emet in a unique way. Hu levadoha Emet. Only He is this true Emet. Ve'ein la'acher Emet. Nothing else has this Emet. Ka'amitato. I wonder how many times you can say the word Emet in the same halacha. He says it again and again. Ve'hu she'atorah omeret, and that's why it says in Torah, ein od milvado. There is nothing other than God. What does it mean? Of course there are other things other than God. This shtender is not God. You could have a Hasidic or a Kabbalistic discussion about whether it's like full of the sparks of divine whatever, but this gender is not God. What does he mean? Ein od milvado? Klomar, meaning ein sham matsui emet milvado kemoto. There is no existence which has God's non-contingent reality. There is nothing that is that God is relying on or requires in order to continue His existence. Unlike everything else in the world, in creation, which is contingent on something else. Everything is made by something else, caused by something else. Only God's Emet is the true Emet, in that it is completely self-standing, and no, and not dependent in any other way. So that's how he describes his reality as Emet. And so to number six, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Al Shlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Omet, Al Hadin Ve'al Ha'Emet Ve'al Ha'Shalom. So, Emes and Shalom. That we have to try and work out today, how they go together. But the world stands on Emet, but not just on Emet. Meaning God is entirely Emet. Our world is a hybrid. It's Emet, but it's also Shalom. And in the world that we live in, those things can conflict. In the world of God, they don't conflict. But in our world, they do. And therefore, we need to look at that conflict. And that's why I call the sheer truth, lies, and everything in between. And it's the between that is the interesting thing. So there are basically three principles that we need to look at today. Each could have a shir on its own, but let's look at them fairly quickly. Principle number one is, what is the halachic definition of emet? It's something that is not misleading. If you're misleading other people, then that is probably not emet. Even if you said it or did it in a way which is clever and weaselly and like, you know, lawyerly, as they say. I feel as an ex-lawyer, I have the right to impugn lawyers. Okay? Even if you say, well, look, technically this is not, doesn't matter. If you're misleading other people, that's sheker. If you're not, it's emes. That's principle number one. Principle number two is this issue of mutar lashanes mipnei ha-shalom. You're allowed to change, not to lie, but to change the way you say things, to bring shalom, because of this hybrid. And the third principle is how you deal with people who are trying to cheat you. Do you have to say tell the truth to people who are trying to rip you off? So we'll see how that works. Obviously the answer is you don't, but we'll have to see how that works and how and where it stands. So let's have a look. The mitzvah of lying or not lying is in the Torah, but it's not where you necessarily expect it to be. Number seven is a posuk that seems to say don't lie. Lo tignovu, do not steal. Lo techachashu, do not deny claims. When someone claims you owe them money, don't stand up in court and say, I don't. The lo techashakru, don't lie. Ish ba'amito, each against their friend. No, it sounds great. Lo techashakru. However, Chazal were very clear that this mitzvah of lo techashakru is only in the court. It's a technical courtroom mitzvah. They do not apply this mitzvah in everyday, regular life. They apply another mitzvah, which is in number eight. So number eight also on the surface sounds like it's in a courtroom, but we'll see it goes beyond, unlike number seven. Do not twist the judgment of a poor person when he's in an agreement, a disagreement with someone. Meaning you might have rachmanis on them and say, okay, it's fine, we'll let them off, they're poor. No, you have to be fair. Midvar sheker tirchak. Now that's not lot to shaker. It could have said lot to shaker. It says midvar sheker, from something which is false, tirchak, stay far away. Why did it say it in this roundabout way? We'll see that in a minute. And then v'naki v'tzadik al tarog, don't by mistake kill someone who is innocent because you're not sure. Ki lo atzdik rosha, because God says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. If you're not sure, you need to let them off, and I'll deal with them if they're not a tzadik. V'shoichad lo tikach, don't take bribes, ki ha-shoichad yaveh pikchim, v'yasalef divrei tzadikim. So it sounds like a judge. However, we'll see in a minute that it's way beyond that. The Sefer HaChinuch also applies this. If you look in number 9, you can see this for yourself later. It sounds like this is in a courtroom, the way that a judge deals with the Baal Din, the way that the different litigants deal with each other. And indeed, there is a beautiful page of Gemara in the Gemara in Shavuos that deals with oaths, which has 13 different things that we learn from the fact that it says Midvar Sheketilchak, and it doesn't just say Lota Shaken. Now, in this Gemara, it's saying that Midvar Sheketilchak is broader than Lota Shaker. Lota Shaker is don't lie. But what about something that's not quite a lie? No, even that's a problem because of a broader application of stay far away. And look at these examples that it gives, very interesting examples. Look at number 10. Let's look at the first box quickly, but the second box is what I'm really interested in. Tan Rabbanan, minayin ledayin shelo yaseh sanigron ledevarav. How do you know that the dayan is not allowed to start justifying the person that is guilty? What does that mean, justifying? Either prepping the lawyers as to how to give the case for the defense, or if the judge is not clear in their own mind and they found them innocent but they're not sure, maybe they should overturn, maybe they should change their mind. No, don't convince yourself of their innocence because you're too embarrassed to admit that you made a mistake. Don't be the litigant. You are the judge, not the litigant. How do we know he's not allowed to do that? Talmud lama midvar shekatircha. Okay, nobody's lying here, but that could lead to a kind of false paradigm where the judge is trying to justify something which is not right. Awesome. How do we know you're not allowed to have a nudnik sitting in the courtroom asking klotz kashas? Because it's going to derail the proceedings. Because of the nudnik there, you'll end up all off on different tangents. Rabbi, how do we know a Talmud is sitting before their Rav? And he sees a merit for the poor person, or a liability for the rich person, or indeed the other way around, but this is just more obvious. He might be embarrassed and say, look, if my Rebbe didn't see this, I'm gonna pipe up and say, well, you know, isn't there this point or that point? No, he has to pipe up, he has to talk. Don't keep quiet, Talmud lama. If you keep quiet, that's not going to lead to the truth. That's going to lead to a lie in some broader sense. Some Talmud sees that the Rav has made a mistake. And he shouldn't say, I'm going to wait till he's finished. And then I'm going to come in like a knight in shining armor and give the bomb, kasha that's going to change the case. And I'll do it for myself. And then everyone will say, oh, Baruch Hashem, for this Talmud, he saved the day. No, that's not the way to be. Talmud lo mevidvar sheketirchak. And there are many others like this. Broader, that there's no one lying here, but they are setting the parameters beyond that. But number 11 is what I'm really interested in. Because the Gemara goes on to say, minayin le'talmid she'amar lo rabbi. So here's a scenario. The Talmud is, a close student, and the Rav says to the Talmud as follows. Yode Atabi, you know me, right? You trust me, I'm your rabbi. She'im notnim li mea mana, if I owed somebody money, or if somebody owed me money, mea mana, whatever that money is, not a fortune, it's money, but it's not a fortune. Let's call it $100, it's not that exactly. Because I wouldn't lie, ain't a mavada. Meaning, do you trust me for $100? Says the Rav to the Talmud, okay, $1 million, I don't know, everybody has a price, maybe not everybody, but $100, do you trust me? So the Talmud says, of course, Rebbe, of course I trust you. So here's the story. Says the Rav, Mana yeshli etzel ploini. This guy owes me $100. The only alav ela eid echad, and I only have one witness. I can't get my money back, and he's a ganav. He's refusing to pay me. Minayin sheloit tistarif imo. How do we know that the Talmud is not allowed to join in as a second witness? Obviously, he didn't see it. He's just trusting the Rav. So the Gemara says, Talmud lama midvar sheketircha. Now, the Gemara is not happy with that answer. Where does it say in the Torah you're not allowed to be a false witness? Not midvar sheketirchak. It's one of the Ten Commandments. So the Gemara says, really? Hai midvar sheketirchak nafka? You're learning that this Talmud is going to stand and lie in court from that? Havada shekuru mikimashaka. That's a full-blown lie. Full-blown lie. The Rachmana Amar in the Torah says, clearly, lo yisa'an eberecha eid shaker, eid sheker. I mean, you're not allowed to be a shaker. Sorry, I got it right the first time. You're not allowed to be a false witness. All of these cases in the Gemara are subtly sheker, not obviously sheker. Ella, but the case is this: Kegoin da amale, the Rav says to the student, "Fadai chatzade isay." I have my one witness, absolutely. The ta'ata. Now, you, I want you to come. Kum Hassan, stand up there as we walk into court. The light tamer, the light midi. Don't say a word. I wouldn't ask you to lie. Just walk with me confidently, with me and the witness and you on the other side, and we'll burst through the door. And he'll look and he'll say, oi, 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 he's got a second witness. The game's up. And of course, then he'll give him the money. How do we know that that's not allowed? Says the Gemara, afilu hachi osir. Even that's osir mishum, shenema midvasha katilcha. Nobody told a lie. And indeed, we trust the rabbi. But that's not the way you are. You don't give the impression of something that's false. That's a problem of midvar shecha tilcha. Okay, fine. We're going to see from here in a minute that the key first principle of emes and sheker is it's the impression you give. This Talmid never said anything, technically. Never said anything at all. But nevertheless, he was giving a false impression. How do I know, though, that this goes beyond the courtroom? So have a look in number 12, a source that we're going to come back to in a few minutes. Famous source, Tana Rabbanan, Kate said, Maraktim Lifnei Hakala. How do we praise the bride? Beishamai Oimrim Kala Kamoshihi. We'll see that soon. Beishamai said, you can't make stuff up. Just tell the truth. Beis Hillel Oimrim Kala Nave Chasuda. You can say, no, she's a fine, beautiful, nice, beautiful bride. Very nice. Amru lahen le Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel, and we'll get into this more soon. So Beis Shammai turn around to Beis Hillel and say, really? Harishi haita chigeres? What if she's a hunchback? Or Suma, not very politically correct, I apologize. Or Suma, she's blind, a hunchback. Kesh, maybe she's a great shidduch for any other reasons, but you're going to say she's a beautiful bride? Come on. Omrim la, we say about her, Kala nava chasuda. How can you just say something that's not true? The Hatayra Amra, didn't the Torah say Midvar Sheker Tirchak Beis Shammai? Say, it's clear that there's a problem with Midvar Sheker Tirchak from their perspective, and this is not in a courtroom. And Beis Hillel don't respond, which we'll see how they respond in a minute. Beis Hillel don't respond, that's only in a courtroom. That's not at a chasna. They don't say that. They understand, yes, in theory, that would apply in a chasna as well. But for the reasons we'll see, they don't think it does apply. But you see from this case very clearly that the Gemara assumes Midvar Sheker Tirchak is a broader principle. It's not just in the courtroom. It goes beyond. Okay, so what have we said? It's not what you say, it's what the person hears. Even if you say it in a technical way that's misleading, then that's still sheker. Now, of course, all of you, or at least some of you, are already thinking of the big question from Yaakov. And Yitzchak, when Yitzchak says to Yaakov, Mi ata bani, who are you, my son? And he answers, Anochi Esav b'chorecha. Okay, the comma, the magic comma. So you're quoting Rashi. He says, Anochi, comma, Esav b'chorecha. So what good does that do? Unless you argue like Rav Hirsch, that Yitzchak gets it. It's a communication that he really says it's really Yaakov, and that Yitzchak knows it's Yaakov, and they're just going through the motions. It's hard to read the episode, the narrative in that way, that Rav Hirsch says that. But it seems that he's misleading him. He said technically the comma saved him. The comma doesn't save you. If what you say is misleading, it doesn't matter if you said it in a technical way. And therefore we'll see at the end, that is one of the most misunderstood Rashi's, I think, in the Torah. He's not what Rashi is saying. We'll see soon what he's saying. So does this go the other way? What if I say something that's technically false, but everybody understands what I mean, and I'm not misleading anybody? Given the case number 13, Nidrei Havai, Nidarim, which are nonsense vows. What does that mean, nonsense vows? Like he says as follows. Amar, he says, he's making a vow on something. And he says, I take a vow, I'm making a neder that this is the case. Im loira isi baderech zeh, I saw on this road, ka'oile mitzrayim, the number of people that came out of Egypt. You know how many people there were? Oile mitzrayim. And he takes a vow on it. Like, how many people came out of Egypt? 603,550 men between 20 and all the women. And so what if I make a count? And let's say we take the number 603,550. And there were 602,000 people there. You just lied. You false oath? You said there were 603,550? No. Look at the Ran. The Ran says, Kush the Kama. He's telling the truth. I don't care how many people were there exactly. Kaven Shira Amrav. He saw a lot of people. That means a lot of people. The avid inish de guzim bakiya governor. People exaggerate. Oh, is it right to exaggerate when you're taking an oath? Okay, maybe it's not ideal, but that's how people speak. Nadarim are based on the way that people speak. People exaggerate. Exaggeration is not sheker, because we know what you mean. You mean there were a lot of people there? We know what you mean. Now, how far does that go? What about sarcasm? Maybe that's cultural. You know, when English people talk to each other, they often say exactly the opposite of what they really mean, you know? And if you're not English, you might be fooled by thinking, wow, he said this, like, really? That's sarcastic. So maybe when you're kind of fooling people, maybe that's a problem. I find this when I talk to non-English people very often. They don't get my sense of humor, but there again, maybe I don't have such a great sense of humor. Maybe that's the reason they don't get it. And what about when you're communicating to people, you're making a chasna, and the chuppah is going to be at 7 o'clock. So you want to write on the invitations, chuppah at 7 o'clock. I mean, great. Even the rabbi won't be there at 7 o'clock. Maybe the chassan and kallah will be there. Maybe. I'm the guy that gets there when on the time that it says on the invitation. Because when you meet 7 o'clock, you write, I don't know, 5:45. You know, maybe, and b'diuk. And I'm the guy that gets there early. My wife says, why are we leaving now? It's nothing going to happen for another hour and a half. No, but this one might be different. And we get there, and it's her and me and the guy rolling tables into the hall. Yeah? And I could help them set up, and I'm there saying maybe they'll bring the food out, maybe not.
Listen to your wife.
So okay, listen to your wife. You know something? You're taking me right back, because my name is Abraham in Hebrew, and she is Sarah. So you can guess what everybody at our Sheva Brachos is. Everybody thought they're the Chacham that comes up with what no one else has thought before. Kol Asher Tamar Alecha Sarah, Shema B'Kola. Okay, Shkoyach. So if you write the wrong time on the invitation, but everybody knows what that means, then that's not lying. Okay, is that the best way? It's cultural. You've got to live with a real culture. Right.
Same sounds great, except if one was a vow. If someone took a vow, you suddenly know that.
No, because vows, with the way we interpret in Dorim, is Loshon B'nei Adam. What people normally mean when they say something is how we understand their neder to work. What about shiduchim? This is where it gets a bit tricky. Okay, I don't know if someone knows that. Things stop there. Shiduchim. Now, it's very difficult because it's all coded and this means this and this means that and this means this, and not everybody's on the same page as what people mean. How old is the Kalah? She's 29. Everybody's 29. For at least another 10 years, she's 29. Okay, fine. Okay, that you'll get over quick. But it's very hard to know. There you're on thinner ice, I think, because you can actually be misleading. And there are things that should be said at the beginning of the dating process, and there are things that should not be said at the beginning of the dating process, because it's too early to raise such a big question, but after two or three dates, then that might be the right time to say it. And there are things that it's too late to say in the dating process, it should have been said earlier, because now it's too late, they've fallen madly in love with each other, and now even though there really is a problem, then they're not going to deal with it, because they say it'll be fine, and it won't be fine. So really when it comes to dating, you really have to know, get into the kishkas of exactly who these people are, where they're from, what they understand by what they said, and people can't be saying things that are coded, and other people just don't get. So you need to have either a translator working in between the two sides. One of my friends who married off Baruch Hashem, a lot of children. The first child that they had that married an Israeli. They're an Anglo family. The first child that they married to an Israeli family. So there clearly was a lot of cultural stuff not working. The other side insisted they do all the negotiations in Hebrew. Of course they did. So they wanted to have the upper hand. And it wasn't going well. And the money discussions were not working. So at a certain point, the Israeli side suddenly starts speaking English. The guy says, listen, for us, the most important thing is shalom bayit. You want shalom, you have to buy it. Now you know where you really stand. Okay, so it gets a little bit more difficult. Yes.
The guide of a mission, when you call the Rosh Yeshiva, and he doesn't tell you that the boy had a Yerida. Isn't that a lie of omission?
Okay, so yes, a lie of omission is also a lie. The fact that if there's a relevant piece of information that you don't include, that's also shekel. We'll see that explicitly. So you have to know, you have to have the chokhmah to know when and what needs to be said. Not everything needs to be said. You had a Yerida. What does a Yerida mean? Is it the kind of thing that silly kids make silly mistakes and that's not relevant now because they've moved on and that was 15 years ago? Or is it something that's still relevant? The kid, every case is different. You have to know the case. I'm not getting into shiduchim now. That's fine. Okay, fine. So that's the first principle. And it makes a lot of sense. If I ask you, I'm writing something down, I say, excuse me, do you have a pen? Like, what am I really asking? I'm asking, I'm not taking a survey for Reader's Digest. How many people in the OU Israel Center has a pen? No, I want to borrow your pen. So if you have a pen, and you have, but you don't wish to lend it because it's a special pen, it's a fountain pen. Remember, you don't lend out your fountain pens because everyone wrote a break. Then you remember that back in the day? So you don't have to tell me, yes, I have a pen, but it's a special pen and I don't like to. Just say, no, I'm really sorry. Because what I'm asking is, can you lend me your pen? And the answer is, no, I'm really sorry. You're not lying. That's what I'm asking. That's what you're answering. Everyone's happy. Okay? The first principle is, it's not what you say in either direction, it's what you're communicating. Principle number two, top of page three. Ha'emes v'ha'shalom ehavu. You have to have emes and shalom, says the Gemara. Now we're getting more into this in Ketzer Meraglim. Number 15. Tam Rabbani Ketzer Meraglim lifnei akala. Be'shamai omrim kala kamoshi. You have to say the kala like it is. The man comes up to you and says, don't you think my bride is the most beautiful bride you ever saw? Says, Beis Shammai, you have to tell the truth. Just skip to 16 and 17 just for a second. Kalaka Moshihi, Rashi says, Lefi Yofya, V'chashivuta Mekalsimota. Say something nice, but say something true. Her dress is nice. She has a wonderful personality. Yes? What? Yichas. What? Exactly. Beis Hillel are going to say that's the worst. Tosfos says, number 17, Im Yeshvan Mum, if there's something bad, so, Lo Yishabchua, so don't lie, and say, Yishtiku, sorry, he says, keep quiet about the Mum. But Lo Yishabchua, or Inami, or alternative, Yishabchua, but no, she Yeshla, like Rashi says, could go in Be'eneha, she has lovely eyes, like a lot of people have nice eyes. Or Be'adeha, she has nice hands, I mean, that's a bit weird, but okay. Im Heliafot. Well, Beis Hillel Omrim, and like you said, Beis Hillel reply, Yishabchua legamre, you have to outright praise her completely. Because otherwise, when you say what she does have, okay, the shvach positively, michlal, that implies the sha'ar leganai, that everything else is not good. What, you're walking around reading diukim into everything? A diuk, like you said this, you must imply that. You know, when I say to you, good morning, you don't say to me, well, you don't think I should have a good afternoon? Like, who thinks like that? Said Beis Hillel, no. At a wedding, everybody is sensitive. He's not asking you to comment on her actual looks. He's asking you to give him chizuk. That's what he's asking for. Okay? And therefore, if you say something that's technically true, but he'll imply the opposite, then it's not good. You've just deflated him. So let's go back to number 15. So, Beis Shammai say it how it is. Beis Hillel Omrim Kalanei V'Chasudei. No, you have to say something general and very positive. Amru Lahem Beis Shammai Hillel Hari She Hayta Kigeret Osuma. Like we said before, she's a hunchback and a blind person, whatever. Omrim La Kalanei V'Chasudei. Atara Amrim Divar Sheker Tircha. So what did Beis Hillel respond? Amru Lahem Beis Hillel Le Beis Shammai. The Divreichem, according to you, you have to be honest all the time. Misha lakach mekach ramin ashuk. Somebody who, different case completely. Somebody bought something in the marketplace and it's a bad acquisition. It doesn't suit them. It doesn't fit them. It's not right for them. But they can't take it back. And they've got it now. You should chenaveinav and they ask you, what do you think? You should be positive? Or you get nenaveinav, you should be negative. He says, of course, you should chenaveinav. You have to be positive. What do you gain by being negative? Again, too late. They've already bought it. They've already committed. They're not actually asking you whether it suits them. If they're standing in the shop and they're looking and trying it on, and they say, do you think this looks right? Do you think this looks wrong? Okay. So then they're asking a different question. Beis Hillel is saying you have to be attuned to the question. What are they really asking? You know, sometimes if my wife, we're running out of the house, and my wife said, does this look right? The answer is yes, because we're getting in the car and we're late, because I'm the one that wants to get to the chasna at 5 o'clock, and I rushed her out of the house. And she doesn't want an analysis. Well, actually, you know, the hat really doesn't go with it. Not interested. Sometimes, let's say my wife's going to a meeting, a certain kind of meeting, and she's trying to work out what to wear. Do you think I should wear this or wear this? She wants an answer. This is right, this is wrong, I think this. You have to read the question, says Beis Hillel. Don't just go with the question that it sounded. And therefore, he ends that statement saying, "Mikan Amru Chacham." In the end of number 15, "La Oylam Tehei Dasa Shal Adam Urebes Imadrius." Very important line. You have to make shalom. You have to get on Urebes. Both, it's a pun. It means both sweet, a rave, and also Murav. You have to be a people person. is what Beis Hillel say. Beis Shammai did not think that was the biggest priority. Beis Hillel said, no, you have to be a people person, and you have to know what the question is. And the Ritva says it very clearly, number 18, Shabchene Beina Vipnene Beina, when he's explaining Beis Hillel, Peirush, number 18, the Kol Shehu Mipnei Darchei Shalom, whenever you have a situation of Darchei Shalom, Ein Bo Mishum Mitvah Sheketircha. There is no Mitvah Sheketircha. The mitzvah's cancelled. Hutra, it's gone. You don't worry about the Mitvah Sheketircha because you're trying to bring Shalom. And that's going to be very important. You're not trying to get yourself out of hot water. You're not trying to mislead anybody in a negative way. You're trying to help keep Shalom with other people. That's not a problem, and there is no Mitvah Sheketircha. How do we know this? Number 19. Here's the Gemara which talks about sins of omission. Amar Rabbi Eloi, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Rav Shimon, Mutzal ala adam l'shanos b'davar shalom. You're allowed to l'shanos. It doesn't say l'shaker, to lie, because it's not a lie. It's change. You're allowed to change the way you say things to bring shalom. Shneimar, with a brother say to Yosef, Avicha tziva, your father commanded you, kotutum uli Yosef, anasana, etc. When Yaakov died, and the brothers go to Yosef and say, our father commanded, please forgive your brothers for what they did to you. Now, Yaakov never said that. We don't know if he even knew what they did. That's a machlokas Rashi in the Ramban. If you decode the brachas of Yaakov, is he telling the brothers that I know what happened, or is he clueless as to what happened? That's an interesting question. He certainly didn't say this. The brothers are lying. Why are the brothers lying? To bring shalom. Again, they're not lying to get themselves off the hook. They know that he knows what they did. They're not trying to pretend that they didn't do it. But they're trying to stop it getting worse, stop the whole community from rift again to a schism and into a rift between them. So they're trying to bring shalom, and that's why you can see it's allowed, because they said it and they weren't critiqued. Rabbi Nosson Omer, mitzvah. It's actually a mitzvah, not just a permission, but it's a mitzvah. Shneimar v'yom Shmuel. Shmuel says to God, Eichelech, how can I go and anoint David HaMelech? V'shama Shaul. Shaul the king is going to hear v'harigwani. And he's going to kill me. There's a name for people who anoint new kings when the old king is still alive. It's called a traitor. And he's Morid v'Malchus. He's going to die. And what does God say to him? He says, nah, it's fine. Tell him that you're going to a family simcha in Bethlehem. Make up a whole maisa. Wow. Now it's not just him changing how he speaks, but God is telling him to make up a whole story in order to prevent this kind of rift in the kingdom. So you see now it's not just mutter, but it's a mitzvah. God is instructing people to act this way. And finally, Rabbi Shmuel, Tana and Rabbi Shmuel's academy taught, God will have shalom, how great is shalom, she'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shina. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes the way things are said. Not just tells us to, but he does. Where? Shemi Karak said, because originally when Sarah laughs and says, oh, ridiculous, how can I have a baby? I'm so old, and my husband's so old, that Adoni Zaken, she said both. Ula Basaif, and when God reports it back to Abraham, he says, the Ani Zakanti. She only said that she was old, which she did say, but he misses out the fact that she also said that he was old. You see from here that missing out is also sheker, if not for the fact that it's okay because of shalom. Because otherwise, like, well, he only missed something out. Why do you even need a heter? No, it's sheker to miss things out. But here it's correct because of shalom. And by the way, shalom is very interesting. Shalom Bais, he's 100 years old. Does he really think, what does he think that Sarah thinks about him? He thinks that she thinks he's a young guy? He's 100 years old. Of course she thinks he's an old guy. Is it really going to upset him? He's 100 years old. Say to him, you know your wife thinks that you're old? Like, what do you want from me? No, the answer is, you never know. You say the wrong thing. People have a furibble. They get upset. You just said it, you know, oh, I meant it. Well, you have to be so careful when it comes to Shalom Bayis, even Kedei Kach. Number 20, there are other areas. There are three areas. Avidi Rabbanan de Mishana b'Milahim. The rabbis, Talmidei Chachamim, also change their words. By the way, the Numukei Yosef implies that these three, it's optional. But for Shalom Bais, it's required, like we just said. But these are optionals where a Talmid Chacham may change the way that he says something. Which are they? Mesechet. Someone comes and says, oh, I heard you finished all of Shas. You learn all these mesechtas when you were 19. He doesn't have to say yes. He can, he can be humble. He can be somebody, she can be somebody who is says they didn't learn what they really did learn, so as not to appear big-headed. Uba puria. Puria, the pashtus is, it means pru or avu. Private issues. Private issues that he doesn't feel comfortable that other people should know about. He's allowed to change things for tznias. There are mafroshim that say means puria is purim. Meaning a Talmud Chacham is allowed to pretend to be drunk, but not to be drunk. Okay, maybe on Purim. Okay, Ubu Shpiza. Ushpiza is people who are very hospitable. The Talmud Chacham should not be so quick to say, oh yeah, family Cohen, they're amazing. They have people every week, everyone gets in, everyone out, because you'll now make it very hard for family Cohen. He can say, yeah, they're very nice people. He doesn't have to talk up, even if it's true, the hospitality that they give. So you see here that these are areas where Talmud Chacham are encouraged not to be completely truthful. And number 21, it sounds again from the Rambam that it's not about Sheker. Or Shehidi Shalom Bein Adam L'Chaveru, if you're trying to bring Shalom, the Hoisin, you add stuff in, the Gara, or you take stuff out, Kedei L'Chavavan Zeh L'Zeh, to make them all love each other, Hari Zoh Mutar. The Chofetz Chaim adds in number 22, that if possible you should try and say it in a way which is not so blatant, if you can. Number 22. Here he's dealing with Lashon Hara, or Achilles, and somebody asks you, what did they say about me? Tell me, what did they say about me? Talui b'zeh. So the answer depends on this. Im yesh lo eitza, if you have a way, lahashivo, to answer, ba'ofen shelo yelo sheker gomor, that it's not a blatant, outright lie. Vegam lo yeh rechilas, and it's also not rechilas. Yeshivei ba'ofen zeh, then that's definitely preferable. The lo yoseh sheker mipiv, meaning even if you have a heter, it's better if you can help it not to outright lie. It's not good for you. It's not good for us to be telling lies, even if there is a reason why it's permitted. Ve'im hu meivin, but if you understand shechaveru lo yikabel zeh, that your friend won't accept that answer, the tshuva muter lo ma sheker gomor mipiv ve'ashav. If you can avoid it, don't. But if you have to, sheker gomor, complete lie, where you're allowed to, where the other person shouldn't be hearing the truth, for this reason, because it's rechilas, you're allowed to say whatever you need to say in order to present the rechilas. That's not sheker, because they've got no right to this information. We'll see more examples of that too. I brought you in number 23, where the Perkei Avos says, having mitalmid of Shal Aaron, Oyev Shalom, Oyev Shalom, the famous story. He'd go making up things each side. He'd go to one side of the Broigas and say, oh, you should know the other side are so upset that they don't know how to approach you, but they really want to get back together with you. And then he'd run and do the same thing with the other side, making stuff up, but to bring Shalom between them. And like I said before, the key point here is you're not trying to get anything out of it. You're trying to help other people. That's the only heter. But if, let's say, you're just lying for the sake of lying, even if you're not getting anything out of it, some people just like telling lies. Look at number 24, the Shari Tshuva. Hachelik HaRavihi goes through different types of lies. Hamashaker b'sipur dvarim. There are people who lie when they're saying over stories. Asher shama umachlik sasam amid kavin, and they change things just on purpose. The ain lo toelet. There's no benefit. V'shkarav in your lying. The lo hefsed lezulato, and you're not saving anybody else. You're not hurting anybody else. But you're not. There's no reason for you to do it. For example, you know, you're with a random group of people. You're never going to see them again. You're at a conference. You're never going to see. Oh, hi, where are you from? Make up a whole story. Oh, I came from Montana. I used to be a horse ranch, rancher. And I did. There are people like that. And they make up, because it's fun. They just make stuff up. What difference does it make? They're not gaining anything by it. They're just having a bit of fun. It doesn't matter what the other person thinks. And Shalom al Yisrael says, no, you can't do that. Avakim is shvato me avato. They just love avato sheker. They just love lying. Midabed tzedek tzedek, from tzedek tzedek. Just one second. Godel ma'od ansho. This is a terrible aveira. But ois panav, what an arrogant way to behave. Avas hasheker. You're so in love, you're addicted to lying. The yichbad avono, and it's a really serious punishment for this. Ki yavehu lebili to'eles, because there's no to'eles. But then he says, v'zeh hachelek, But it's this kind of lying, hitiruhu l'kai mitzvahs v'drisha tova v'shalom. That's what you're allowed to make stuff up. Not because you love making stuff up, but because you're helping the other person to bring shalom between whatever it is. That's when there's a hesed. But not stand because you feel like it. Had a question?
No, just fiction. Fiction. It's okay because it's late.
I mean, you're writing fiction.
Yeah.
Well, people think it, people know it's fiction. You're not fooling anybody. It's when you buy a biography of somebody, but it's really historical fiction. Then that's the interesting shaila, you know. Really, you know. So that's I think sometimes it's a biography and historical fiction, the same genre. Okay, so that's the second heter. Yes, sir.
So, in your situation, where you tell one side one thing, and
yes,
and you really love being watched by peace with you, you tell the other side, and each of them thinks it's true, and then they show them. And they later found out that it wasn't true.
Okay.
That they really hate each other, which they really were true.
Okay, you know something, you're right, you can only do...
So by departing from the truth, you really have...
You can only do your best. There are always people that want to fall out with. Maybe what will happen is that when they find out you've misled them, they'll hate you more than they hate each other. Maybe that's worth it. Okay? At least I achieved something, so they can hate me. You never, look, it might work, it might not work, you're well-intentioned, it's better than nothing. There are broyuses that keep for life. There are broyuses that never get solved. And if you can do something to help, you do something. You also have to be good at it. you can't do this without being a mumcha. Yes?
In Rabbi Tolushkin's book, he actually means exactly this, and he says that once he actually tried it, and when one side met the other side, he said to the second side, I'm so happy that you finally saw you were wrong.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah? Sometimes it doesn't work. Okay, last principle. You're allowed to lie to people who were trying to cheat you. And this is obvious. Even a child of 4 knows this. In fact, I once did a sort of psychological experiment on my daughter. She came home from school age 4 or 5, and she said, they told us that we're not allowed to lie. We had a whole class on lying. Lying is bad. Because kids, you know, originally think that you can see inside their head, and then they realize that you can't see inside their head. That's very empowering. All of a sudden, this 4-year-old has got this power, superpower, that know that the parents can't see inside their head. So, of course, it's very tempting to lie. She told me, you're not allowed to lie. I said, okay, never. She goes, never. So I said, okay, what happens if there's a bad man chasing a good man, and the good man asks you to help him and hide him from the bad man? Would you help him? She goes, of course, I'd help him. Where would you hide? Hide him in the house. She gives a whole little 4-year-old version of this. I said, when the bad man comes banging on the door, saying, do you know where the good man is? Would you tell him? So she immediately says, no, of course not. He's a bad man. Of course I wouldn't tell him. I'm helping to hide the good man. So then I said to her, yeah, but that's a lie, right? That's not true. And she looked back, confused. And at this point, my wife said, if she turns out weird, it's all going to be your fault. Because you're messing with her head. So thank God she turned out great. But it was everybody understands this. It's obvious. It's just intuitive. So now plug this into Yaakov and Esau. So I brought you the Pesukim number 25. Who are you, my son? I am Esav, your firstborn. Let's look at the famous Rashi number 26. Anochi ha-mevilecha. I'm the one that's bringing you. Comma, the Esav hu b'charecha. But Esav is your firstborn. And we saw already the beginning. This is not the way that you can speak in terms of the halacha of lying. And you can imagine that, you know, you have a kid who's stealing cookies from the cookie jar. And you said, you know, they keep disappearing. You said, is it you? No, it was my sister. And then you find out he's lying, and it was him. And you say, well, why did you say it was your sister? He goes, no, that's not what I meant. I meant, no, of course it was me, but comma, but this is my sister. I put a comma. And the mother will say, like, it's bad enough you steal. Who taught you to speak in this crooked, crazy way? It was the Rebbe. The Rebbe in Gan taught us to speak this way, because Yaakov cheats his father by speaking this way. So we'll see that's not true. Let's look at a few Gemaras. Number 27. Hahu Aramor. There was this. Aramor means both a non-Jew and also a fraud. The Havasalik Va'achet Sachem Yerushalayim. He got his kicks from going down to Yerushalayim. He lived in Chutz Laaretz. And lying and saying he was a Jew. He got dressed up as a Jew. He went to the Beis HaMikdash. They don't know everybody. And he ate from the Korban Pesach. He joined a group. Amar, and he says, he's boasting back home. Ksiv, it says in your Torah, Kol ben nechel ayoichel boy. Any non-Jew is not allowed to eat it. Kol orel lo yochel boy. Any uncircumcised male is not allowed to eat it. Va'ana, but me, hakachlina mishufri shufri. I eat from not just the Korban Pesach, but the choicest portions. I get the best portions. And I'm fooling all these Jews. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera. Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera lived in Netzivim, which is a town on the Syrian-Turkish border. A good long, you know, way from Yerushalayim, about 1,000 kilometers away. So he said to him, Mika Safu Lecha Mi'Aliyah? Wow, interesting story. Have you ever had, did they ever give you from the Aliyah? The Aliyah is the fat tail at the back of the sheep, which is prohibited. That goes on the Beis Hamikdash, on the Bizbeach. It's awesome to eat this. So, but this is the best bit. Did you ever ask for this? Amalei, no, I never thought to do that. Says that, Kisalka Lahasam, when you go next time to Pesach, Emelu, why don't you tell them, Safu Li Mi'Aliyah, give me from the Aliyah. Now, Kisalik, when he goes next year, Amaluhu Me'aliyah Safuli, he tells them, please give me from the Aliyah. Amrule, and they said to him, Aliyah Legvoa Salamka. The Aliyah, it goes on the Mizbeach, what's going on here. Amrule, they said to him, Man Amalachachi, who recommended that you should ask for the Aliyah? Amaluhu, he said to them, Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera, my rabbi, told me to ask for this. Amru, they said to each other, my high bikaman, what are we dealing with here? Badku Basrei, they checked him out. Vashkuchu da'aramahu, they found he was a liar. Vakatluhu, and they killed him. Whether they did the right thing or the wrong thing is a good question, but they killed him. Shalchule, and they sent a message to the Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera. Shalom lecha Rabbi Yehuda ben Basera. Da'at ben Itzivim, you live all the way up in Turkey. Umitzudatcha purusa b'yushlag, but your nets, your network spreads all the way to Yerushalayim. Yashar koach gadol. Why is this allowed? He got the guy killed. He lied to him. He got him killed. What makes this permitted? Now we'll see, it is permitted. But why is it permitted? More examples. Number 28. Let's say that you're carrying food on the road and you're stopped by bandits. So says the Gemara in number 28, says the Mishnah actually, number 28, the bottom of page 4. Nodrin lahorgin lacharamim umuchsim. You can make a neder, a false oath to horgim, people are trying to come kill you, charamim, people are trying to plunder the stuff, muchsim, and fake tax collectors, who are not real tax collectors, but they're going to take your money away. What can you tell them? Shehi truma. That it's truma. Afal pi she'enu truma. And that's actually very interesting, because the Mishnah is telling you, you know something, there are a lot of frum people out there that won't eat truma, but they will rob from you, they will steal from you. Yeah? So just because they steal from you doesn't mean they're careful about the kashrus. Doesn't mean they're not careful about kashrus. You know the story, people keep taking the milk from your from the fridge in the office, so you write, please don't take this milk, it's private, they still take the milk. But you know, this it's gneva doraisa to take this milk, they still take the milk. This milk is not Chalav Yisrael, nobody touches the milk. Yeah, it's a joke. But it's a joke that rings true, right? So it's truma, they won't take it. Afbi Shehen and truma, but you lied. Shehen shel beit hamelech, you can tell them this belongs to the king. If you steal this, you'll be dealing with him. Afbi Shehen shel beit hamelech, even though it's not true. Says the Gemara, number 29. Heichi neder. So what are you allowed to say by this false oath? Amar Rabbi Amram, Amarav, but oime, you can say, Yasru peirut haolam alai, I make an oath that I won't eat any more produce in Einon Shel Beis HaMelech, if it's not true that this belongs to the king. Meaning you take an oath. You say, they won't take your word for it, but you say, no, I'll take an oath. I won't ever eat anything ever again, or from any produce, if I'm lying. Now, Kevin da Amar, so the Gemara says, Kevin da Amar Yasru, if you, now that you've made this oath, it's a late call period armor. So now you've got yourself into trouble. Now you're not allowed to eat any produce again. Could someone just turn that phone off, please? Don't know who is it. It's somewhere over here. Thank you very much. Okay. So the Gemara says, but Omer, it's when he said, I won't eat anything else. Hayom. Today. Today? Meaning, he's not stupid. He said, I won't eat anything today. So Gemara says, either Amah Hayom, if he says today, Lo Mekabel Minei Moiches, then they won't believe him, because they'll know he's just pushing them off. Well, oh yeah, you won't have anything else to eat today? Everyone can say that. No, says the Gemara, but Oimer Beliboy Hayom. He said to them, I won't, if I'm lying, I'll never eat anything again. And in his mind he thinks, today. But he didn't say it. But he just says, I'll never read anything again. He never says the word today. He thinks it. Even though we hold that what's happening in your mind is not relevant, certainly not in a neder, it's what you said that matters. Legabi einsin, if you're being ripped off, shani, it's different. We'll allow you to do that. Why? You're lying. You're taking a false oath. In your mind, you're adding extra words in. We allow you. Last case. Second to last case. Number 30. Hasoche et ha'umnim. You hire somebody to do work on your house. The hitters are there and they let you down. You hire a painter and you say, listen, my mother-in-law's coming next week for Shabbos. The work's got to be finished by Wednesday. It's got to be done. There's no buts. And they said, don't worry, sir. And then on the day, you call them up, where are you? Are we doing another job across town? We'll do you next week. They said, yeah, but this it has to be this week. So what can you do? So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, if you're losing out because they broke the contract, they went back on their word, if there's no one else to do the work for you, Meaning if there's another painter that can come, okay, so you'll never use them again. You'll get the other painter. But what if the only other painter you can get now is a last-minute emergency jobs painter, and he's going to charge you $100 instead of $50, or whatever it is. So, socher aleihem, you can hire somebody else against them, meaning you can hire the super expensive emergency last-minute painter and then sue them for the money because they caused you the loss. That makes sense. Or matan, or you can fool them. You can fool them. It says in number 31, the Gemara says, Ketan matan. What does it mean you can fool them? I'm Elohim, you can say to the painter that's letting you down, Selakat stasti lachem. Oh, I promised you $1,000. Bowatulushtein. I'll raise it to 2,000 if you can do my job this week, because I need it done. And they say, oh, okay. For $2,000, we'll call the other people and tell them we'll do them next week. And they come and do your job, and at the end of the week, how much do you owe them? $1,000. No, you promised them double. Yeah, I promised them double because they reneged on their contract. I have to do that. They have to keep their side of the contract. I can say what I like. I just got them to do what they originally agreed to do. Yeah, but you just lied. You just promised them more money, and you're not going to give them more money? Correct, because they're ripping me off. I have to be honest with people who are ripping me off. I don't have to do that. And it's not on me. Number 32 says the Gemara, last case, and then we'll plug this in. Number 32. Bat Chamur de Rav Papa. Rav Papa's sister-in-law. Nafla lifnei Yavam. She had a sticky marriage situation. Her husband died. She had no children. And she ended up having to go to a brother-in-law that she didn't want to get married to. She'ein Hagana. It's not right for her. She says, I don't want to do this. I don't want it. And he says, no, I insist. I want to do Yibum. And she says, no. And she says, "Do chalitza, let me go." And he says, "No, she's an aguna, basically." Asa lekamid abaya. They came to abaya. What shall we do? Amale, he said, "This is what you should do." He says to the guy, "Chalitzla, do chalitza, almanashe titin lachamatayim zuz, and she'll pay you 200 zuz. It's a full kesuba, 200 zuz. It's a lot of money. She'll pay you off to give her a chalitza. Lebata de chalitzla. So he does it for the money. He gives a chalitza." Amala, he says to her, Zil Havli, give me my money. So Amalei, and she said, well, go speak to Rav Papa. He'll deal with it. And he says to him, Meshatani b'chav delei. I was just joking. There's no money. There's no money. What do you mean there's no money? You probably, yeah, you're a Rosha. You weren't giving the woman a get, in this case a chalitza. So you did it for the money, and now I have to pay you? I have to pay you because you're a Masarev get? You should have given her the chalitza. It was the right thing to do. I don't have to pay you anything. Mi lo tanya, don't we learn? Shehaya boreach. Let's say someone's running away. Mi beta asurim. They've been kidnapped. This is not a rare criminal. This is someone who's been taken for ransom. And they managed to escape. And they're running away. The haitza ma'abara lefanav. And there's a river crossing in front of them. The amalein, he says, and the guy with the river crossing sees he's a prisoner. And he says, yeah, I'll take you over for, you know, pay me handsomely. Told Dina to give me a gold coin, Vavirini, and I'll give you a gold coin to take me over. Eilat Elastara, he only gets the money that a regular river crossing gets because he's ripping you off, he's taking advantage, he's price gouging, whatever you want to call it. And therefore, the principle is very clear, which is, it's mutter to cheat. The cheater, because you don't have to stand there and be cheated. And in the case of Yaakov, this answers the question. Because the redax, so we haven't got much time, I'll explain a little bit out of the sources. The redax in number 33 says, I don't understand why people have a problem with Yaakov. That, oh, he's lying, and how can he lie, and he's Titin Emes Liyakov, he's meant to be the paragon of Emes. The answer is, I'm sorry, Esav is a cheat. He wants to kill him. He's already said this. He's pretending that he's someone he's not. And everyone's been taken in by this. Yitzchak, he's blind. He doesn't know. You're trying to get the brachas from Esav? Of course he's allowed to lie. He's someone's trying to cheat you. You have to be honest with Esav? You do not have to be honest with Esav. Now, you could ask, well, it's Yitzchak as well. Okay. But you don't have to be honest here. Someone's trying to rip you off. Comes along the Orcha Sadikim and says, yeah, but what do we learn in the Chofetz Chaim? Obviously, it's not quoted in the Chofetz Chaim. Same idea. That if you can lie without lying blatantly, then it's better to say it, not because it makes it okay, but because it's better for you to say it in a way which is not so gas, to tell an outright lie. You're allowed to tell an outright lie, but if you can make it less bolet, that's just better. But that's not your heter. So Yaakov is allowed to say whatever he likes. But for himself, he puts a comma. Anochi, comma, Esav b'chorecha. Not to make it okay. Doesn't make it okay. What makes it okay is that Yaakov's just trying to stop being cheated. But to make it less bolet for him, he puts a comma in there as well. And it's very interesting. Because that is maybe the way of, one way of looking at it. I just want you to look at the last page for a second. I'm not going to go into these sources. There are actually two very beautiful midrashim. Maybe I might start with these next time. 35 and 36. Which, because I think they're priceless midrashim. And at the very end, in 38, I brought you an extended piece from the Emes Liyakov, appropriately so named, of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, where he brings the same approach that we just saw in the Radak, that Yaakov is just being a chacham. You have no obligation to be ripped off. And of course he's allowed to say this. And of course that's the truth, because in life, truth is a grey area. Sometimes you have to not tell the truth to bring shalom. Sometimes you have to not tell the truth for tznius. Somebody's asking you inappropriate questions, you need to tell them the truth. Again, we'll see these midrashim maybe next time. And I advise you to read this long piece from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It'll be very interesting. Next time I want to go into an offshoot from this, which is misleading other people in advertising, in the way you represent things. We'll see what this is, and we'll start with these midrashim.